Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Rush, and thank you, members of the committee. I'm the last witness on the last panel, so I will be brief, and I will take to heart Mr. Shimkus's command to listen and be constructive. I think that's exactly the right mindset to bring to this issue.
And would you mind just taking the microphone a little closer?
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. I will do whatever Mr. Shimkus says. So I do think it is time to, and we've heard this over the last 2 days, it's time to recognize that the RFS is producing too many biofuels that increase greenhouse gas emissions, that increase food prices, that pollute our air and water, and not enough of the good biofuels that really help hold the promise of not pitting our energy needs against our food security and environmental needs. And it's important to look back and remember that the RFS was once heralded as a way to combat climate change. But according to EPA's own analysis and their 2010 regulatory impact analysis, the RFS has actually increased greenhouse gas emissions by encouraging farmers to plow up millions of acres of land, releasing carbon into the atmosphere and releasing nitrous oxide emissions into the atmosphere. And again, according to EPA's own analysis, the rapid expansion of corn ethanol increased greenhouse gas emissions in 2012 and will continue to increase greenhouse gas emissions for years to come. And that's because most corn ethanol is either produced in a natural gas-fired dry mill ethanol plant, which, according to EPA, increases life cycle greenhouse gas emissions by 33% when compared to gasoline, or in a coal-fired dry mill ethanol plant, which increases greenhouse gas emissions, again, according to EPA, by 66% when compared to gasoline. But that's not all. As farmers have applied more fertilizer to millions of acres of new cropland, the RFS has also increased the amount of fertilizer that winds up in our rivers and streams that in turn increases the cost of treating our drinking water. It has increased the amount of water that's used in many drought-stricken states. It's increased emissions of air pollutants like particulate matter and ozone, and as we've heard on this panel, increased food prices for consumers. That's the bad news. I think the good news is that many second-generation biofuels hold real promise because many of these fuels convert wastes, not food crops, into fuel. Unfortunately, as you heard yesterday, the marketplace is saturated by corn ethanol, blocking the commercial development of these much more promising fuels. And so we believe that in order to allow second-generation fuels to gain a foothold in the marketplace, Congress must reform RFS to phase out the corn ethanol mandate. There's simply no reason to think RFS is currently designed is providing a sufficiently powerful incentive to develop these new fuels. In fact, all of the evidence suggests that RFS is failing to deliver on that promise. Over the last year alone, EIA has on three separate occasions revised downward its estimates for cellulosic ethanol production in 2022. At a minimum, Congress should level the playing field for these second-generation biofuels by making corn ethanol subject to the same high greenhouse gas reduction standards as second-generation biofuels. Right now, as I mentioned, most corn ethanol production is completely exempt from any of these greenhouse gas reduction standards. So they are, again, completely exempt from meeting these greenhouse gas reduction standards under the 2007 Act. And according to EPA's 2010 regulatory impact analysis, increasing greenhouse gas emissions. What's more, phasing out these food-to-fuel mandates would, as you've just heard, create a level playing field for livestock operators, for food manufacturers, for restaurant owners who are paying more for food and feed. I'd like to just close by thanking you for reviewing this issue. We've now had many years of experience with the RFS. I applaud you all for recognizing that now's the time for reform, and we do look forward to working with you to come up with constructive ways to help bring these promising second-generation fuels to the marketplace.